Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, November 22nd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And yeah, let's talk, man. Let's talk. I'll get rid of the radio voice. I started today with the radio. What station's giving it to you? We have to preview the remaining games on the slate. We could talk briefly about last night as well. Honestly, kind of awesome with the snow. Kind of awesome. Now, hopefully you avoided like a Cedric Tillman landmine. Jerry Jeudy's not bad, man. Oh, did we finally unleash Jerry Jeudy? Even in the snow, he ended up being a solid play. But overall, you know, it was a weather game. It was a classic AFC North game. If you use Nick Chubb, two touchdowns there. Honestly, the weather really helped him out. But I don't have that much to say about it because, yeah, it was a little screwy. You know, we have reached that time of the year where weather can become a factor. And with anything, when it comes to weather, it's the same thing as anything with fantasy football. Like, don't freak out. Have a plan in place, but don't freak out. And I saw way too many people like really losing their minds last night over a little snow. Now, hopefully, again, you dodge some of those bullets, but overall, I love the direction Jerry Jeudy is trending in. Now, Cleveland doesn't have the best stretch run, but it's no reason to move off of Jeudy as a wide receiver three. I'm thinking Moore and Tillman are probably more flex options most weeks, you know, more often than not. But, you know, it's a week-to-week thing. It's a week-to-week thing. David Njoku is fine, too. The two-point conversion was pretty awesome. It's just an awesome play. Like, he's so freakishly athletic. All right, I'm going to dive into it. I don't want to beat around the bush any further here. So let's go game by game. We'll start with Minnesota and Chicago. In this one, you know, again, with any of these games, I'm not going to talk about like the obvious. Of course, you're going to start Justin Jefferson, but like Sam Darnold, for example, it's been a decent season. Hasn't been a perfect season, and it is a relatively tough matchup. So I'm viewing him more as just a super flex option, not a one quarterback league option. Same thing with Caleb Williams on the other side. I like what we saw out of the Bears in terms of the passing game last week. It looked a little bit better. Now, 1 week can be a fluke. 2 weeks is a trend, so hopefully that continues through this week. Remember with DJ Moore, he is boom or bust, but the boom is usually worth it. Has not been a great season, though last week's numbers were encouraging. So he's still the best option, though I think you could get away with Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze as wide receiver threes this week, just given the fact that six teams are on bye. As far as DeAndre Swift, again, people freaked out on Wednesday when he went DNP, and guess what? He went limited yesterday. He's almost certainly going to play. Great example of how the first practice of the week really doesn't tell us that much. And that goes to a lot of people out there. I often hear this as the argument against having waivers run on Tuesday night. People will say, well, we need practice reports. And it's like, you don't know anything from a Wednesday practice report. Like, you don't know anything from the first practice report of the week. You need the third of the week, and that doesn't come until Friday. And nobody out there is waiting until Friday to run waivers. So again, classic example there of a first practice report really misleading a lot of people and ultimately being much ado about nothing. Detroit and Indianapolis, starting with if you got them on the Detroit side, everybody, you know, everybody. I think probably the bigger topic in this game is Anthony Richardson. Now, last week was the best passing performance of his professional career. And I don't care about the stats. I'm not talking about the stats. I'm talking about how he actually looked. He looked decent. He really did. Obviously, he had the rushing touchdowns. I really hope he doesn't lower his throwing shoulder anymore. Man, don't do that, dude. But overall, he looked decent and the fantasy numbers came. If he can do that basically every week going forward, he's going to be a QB1. He's going to be a top 10 option. Heck, he could be even, are you ready for the cliche? A league winner. I mean, he could be. He could be, you know? But history has shown us that he is far from consistent and his downside is massive. So my advice, if you're considering Richardson, is you have to ask yourself a question. And the question isn't, should I start this dude? Your question that you should ask yourself is, how will you react if he goes out and has a dud? Let's say Richardson, you start him, and I have him as a top 10 option, but I'm willing to admit his range of outcomes is massive. It's an enormous range of potential outcomes. So how will you react if he craps the bed? Are you going to freak out? Are you going to lose your mind? Are you going to get all upset? or sad or all that, like overly emotional about it. If you are, don't use him. If you can't handle the downside, don't chase the upside. Just don't use him. Like, it's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. Now, if you're like me and, you know, if the dude goes out and puts up a dud, you realize that was a risk going into it and you don't really care, then you could use him. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me, but I know it bothers a lot of people. So you got to play the game within sort of your own confines. And, you know, if you're like me, cool. You could probably get away with using him. If you're not like me and you're the other way around, I would not recommend using him. The receivers there are wide receiver threes, by the way, both of them for me this week, both Pittman and Downs. New England, Miami, on the New England side, really trying to only use Drake May as a super flex option. Really like what we've seen out of him. Ramondre is decent, man. He's had some volume the last couple weeks. And then obviously Hunter Henry. I'm trying to stay away from the wideouts, but if I have to use one, it's DeMario Douglas. On the Miami side, I'm loving Tyreek here. He was briefly on the injury report with an ankle, not even the wrist, but he was taken off of that. Jonnu Smith is surging. I do get a lot of Jalen Waddle questions. Like, yeah, the downside is very much there, and we've seen it for most of the season, but the upside is also there. So I have him as a top 36. Now he's at 36, and I totally get it if you don't want to use him, but there at least is a high enough ceiling to justify justify the play. Obviously, otherwise, Tua is a streamer, you know, and we're using Achan. Actually, have to briefly cut in here. So this is kind of wild, and it does relate to our next game. The Giants just released Daniel Jones. Now, it was per his request, but wow. Like, hey, Raiders or whoever, you need a quarterback? I mean, like, Daniel Jones would be an upgrade on what they have. Anyway, that's kind of crazy, and that was an unceremonious end to his time with the team. I guess more is going to come out about this, but wow. All right, so Tommy DeVito is starting for the Giants. Let's talk Giants and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. DeVito, okay, so in his starts last year, he had six of them, remember? So it's not as if he's inexperienced. And I don't know what happens beyond this point. I really think that they almost have to be drafting a quarterback next year. But here was fantasy finishes last year. QB 18, 7, 20, 16, 27, 34. So, like, not bad, not great, but he could be super flex worthy. Now, the more important thing is I think he does more than enough to keep Malik Nabers in top 10 territory, and I do expect a good bit of Tracy in this one. As far as the other side, Mike Evans has 665 more receiving yards to go to get 1,000 again. He has seven games. That's 95 yards per game if he stays healthy. I do think this is going to be front of mind. I do think it's going to be a priority for the team. I do think Baker Mayfield gets in the ball early and often in this one. And then the only other target he has is Cade Otton, and Cade Otton is, you know, borderline elite option at this point. All right, Dallas and Washington. On the Dallas side, CeeDee Lamb did pop up on the injury report. He went limited DNP. Now, if you go limited DNP, that means one of two things. The first thing it could mean is you were limited on the first practice of the week because you actually suffered an injury during the practice, and then you had the midweek downgrade. That is not good. But that may not be what's happening here. The other practice pattern that we'll sometimes see is they're limited the first practice of the week, which is a light practice. Then on the second practice, it's basically a planned rest day. They go DNP, then they're back in practice. Sometimes they're full on Friday, and then they're ready to go. We really won't know until we get practice reports today, but it is at least worth monitoring. I don't think it's safe to assume he's out by any stretch. And, I'm a glass half full type of guy anyway, but when I see these types of situations, I don't just assume the dude is out. And we'll actually get to that with Brock Purdy in a few minutes here too. So we'll keep an eye on that. The other side, I mean, this is about as straightforward as possible. I'm still using Jaden Daniels. I did ask the question as to whether or not he's actually every week starter, but I really like this spot. They're heavily favored. I think that Washington absolutely throttles Dallas here, and Jaden Daniels is a big part of it. Terry McLaurin bounces back, and this is a Brian Robinson script, not an Austin Eckler script. So Robinson actually a top 15 play for me. Kansas City, Carolina, it's a trap. No, I don't think it's a trap. I really don't. I think Kansas City is going to be just fine here. Mahomes is top 10. Even though last week wasn't a great fantasy performance, he did have three passing scores. Obviously, you're using Kelce, Hopkins, a wide receiver three. But the big question is, will Pacheco play? I don't know. He's gone limited so far this week. but today is going to be pivotal. Now, sometimes we will see a guy who's designated to return and goes limited all week and then is not active, right? He needs another week. So I don't know where we are on Pacheco, but it is not safe to assume he's back. However, if he is back, he's an RB2 plus. If he is not back, Kareem Hunt is an RB2 plus. If Pacheco is back, though, Kareem Hunt is unusable. Unless the team shows us otherwise, that's how we have to proceed. Over to the other side, I mean, Chuba, we're going to see Jonathan Brooks out there. It's going to be really interesting to see how they use him, but I would still expect a ton of Chuba. I mean, he's been great this season. 818 rushing yards so far. He'll be the first Panthers running back to top 1,000 yards if he does, in fact, continue this pace since Christian McCaffrey in 2019. So that is good. I want to use Leggett. I do not want to use Adam Thielen. Tennessee, Houston. Will Levis, if he can continue to play like this, he'll be super flex worthy down the stretch. But he has to continue to play like this. And he's looked good over the last two games. But he has to continue in this one. Throw the ball to Calvin Ridley. Make good things happen. How about this? Through 10 games this year, Tony Pollard has 849 scrimmage yards. Through 10 games last year for the Titans, Derrick Henry had 830. Tony Pollard's having a sneaky good season. And I think he had a sneaky good season last year. He just didn't score touchdowns, and that's fine. I mean, I know it's not fine for fantasy, but it was better than people often made it out to be. Moving over to the other side, feels like a Joe Mixon script, but that's not going to chase me away from the passing game. I actually have CJ Stroud as a top 12 option. I think the Titans do enough here to keep this thing close. You know, they do enough offensively so that they do have to throw the ball around the yard a little bit. Lovin Collins, top 10 play. Tank Dell's a, you know, borderline top 20 play this week. Denver and the Raiders, obviously we're using Bo Nix until further notice, and Cortland Sutton for that matter, but what do we do with the backfield? That's the biggest question I'm getting. So Audric Estime, after seeing the big workload in week 10, faded into the background last week, and it was Javonte Williams. Is this bait and switch? Is this like Belichickery out of Sean Payton? I think it's probably a little bit of Belichickery where he's going game plan or game plan specific, I guess is probably the best way to put it, like matchup specific with these guys. Yeah, I think that's what we're getting, which means we won't know. Now, the unfortunate thing is that means also, though, I don't think we should be dropping Audric Estime or Javonte Williams. So we're kind of stuck with it for right now. I can't start either of these guys, but if we get a clear pattern, maybe we will be able to. We're going to keep an eye on it this week. The other side, Brock Bowers is awesome. Somebody asked me if I expect Pat Surtain to shadow Jacoby Myers. No. If they do that, Bowers is going to destroy them. So I don't actually expect that. I don't think that Sertan's going to shadow Bowers either, but I do think he'll be on him at points during the game. As far as the backfield is concerned, we are waiting and seeing. Because somebody was like, you're not ranking Dylan Laube. Yeah, I'm not. Because as of right now, it's Madison, Zamir White, and Amir Abdullah, then Laube as the number four on the depth chart. Until we get indication of Madison and or White not playing, well, I'm not going to rank Laube. But I will get that indication. And if you follow along over at FTN, Friday afternoons, when we get all the practice reports come out and all the details for the Sunday games, I immediately update rankings. So everything will be up there as soon as I get all that intel. So for now, I mean, you could throw a dart at Laube, but he's not guaranteed to be the lead back. All right, San Francisco, Green Bay. Getting a lot of questions about Brock Purdy. The good news is we did get at least somewhat of an update from John Lynch today, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. The update says essentially, and this is from Cam Inman on Twitter, who obviously he covers the team. So John Lynch saying Purdy did have an MRI and feels good about where it is from that standpoint. Lynch said Brock will show up here today and we'll see where he goes from practice and go forth accordingly. He said, quote, it's tenuous. Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs would both be ready, but Brandon would get first snaps. If Purdy doesn't go, we're not filling him in with Brandon Allen, right? So make sure you have a plan in place. I still think it's an if. I still think he plays. I still think he's going to be just fine. I'm not going to freak out over this, and I'm definitely not going to assume that he's not playing. Like, all we can do is really wait until later today. The good news is I think we'll get a decent indication of where he is after the practice today. Ideally, it's a full practice and he's good to go. If it isn't, we'll proceed accordingly. You're going to have to downgrade Juwan Jennings, Deebo Samuel, if it's Brandon Allen. I'm not downgrading George Kittle much. He's still going to be an every week starter, obviously, regardless of who's under center. I could be out there and George Kittle be a starter. And Christian McCaffrey, I'm not downgrading him. So a little bit of a moving piece there, but again, not anything to really freak out over. On the other side, tough matchup for Jordan Love. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not really overly concerned about the receivers. Like, if I get away with not using Love this week, I will. You know, it's the number three team in terms of pass defensive DVOA, the 49ers are. But, you know, still using Reed as an upside wide receiver two, still using Watson as an upside wide receiver three, and then using Dobbs as a wide receiver three as well. Arizona, Seattle. Okay, so Kyler has been a little bit boom or bust, but over the last 4 weeks, only one finish outside of the top 12 in terms of fantasy quarterbacks. So I like the boom potential here in this showdown for, is it showdown for control of the division? I mean, that division's wild. Anyway, as he goes, so too does Marvin Harrison Jr. So just know when you're using Harrison Jr. as like a top 25 guy, that there's a wide range of potential outcomes for him. In terms of Seattle, I like Geno in this one. I mean, he's still leading the league in passing yards per game, 278.1. You got Metcalf out there. You have Jaxon Smith-Njigba surging up into wide receiver two plus territory. And Kenneth Walker scoring touchdowns when DK is out there. He scored 8 touchdowns this season when Metcalf is in play. When Metcalf is not on the field those 2 games, he had 0. So liking Kenneth Walker, obviously. Philly and the Rams coming down the home stretch here. The one moving piece for the Philadelphia Eagles is Devontae Smith. So 2 days of DNP. If he goes another DNP, probably sits out, right? If he sits out, the biggest beneficiary is Dallas Goedert. We've already seen this story before. When either Brown or Smith or both of them are out, the next guy to get targets is Goedert. So keep that in mind. Like, Goedert would be an elite play. We're not getting cute with anybody else in terms of the Philly wide receivers. You know, you're using Hurts, Barkley, Brown. It's easy. Not the best matchup for Stafford, but I mean, it's hard to not like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp out there. If I get away with not using Stafford in one quarterback leagues, I would. He's more of a super flex option. I heard somebody say like Kyren Williams is fading. I don't see that. I don't see it. Like, he's still being used just as much. Like, he hasn't had a couple goal line carries here recently because, you know, the other guys are scoring, but that's not going to happen every single week. Kyren Williams is still a rock solid RB1 option. All right, finally, Baltimore and the Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl right here. Okay, so on the Baltimore side, straightforward with Lamar, Derrick Henry, with Zay Flowers. A lot of people asking me about Deontay Johnson and what they should do with him. And the thing is, you just have to have patience if you're rostering him. I don't think he's droppable. I think he's a player who's getting integrated into an offense, learning a new playbook, and down the stretch, we're going to see his role increase. It could even happen this week. I don't know. Obviously, we can't start him, but I don't view him as a droppable option. However, if you do, if you have somebody better to pick up, then go for it. I mean, you know, that's how we determine drops. If there's somebody better to add, then we drop the player, you know, and if you view it that way, then go for it. All right. On the other side, Justin Herbert rolling. He's a top 5 play. Now, Ladd McConkey started the week DNP, but just like somebody like DeAndre Swift, who everybody freaked out over, and then he ended up going limited, and he's going to play. Let's see what happens with the second practice of the week for McConkey. If he plays, I mean, he's been steamrolling here. He's every bit a back-end wide receiver one. The Chris Carter of the team, Quentin Johnston, is more of a upside wide receiver three, though he'd move up into top 20 territory if McConkey didn't go. I really don't think that's the case, though. I would fully expect Ladd McConkey to play in this one. As far as the backfield, Dobbins, revenge. Come on. Do they get both of these guys in the end zone? Like, I'm not doing that with Gus Edwards, by the way. But I love a revenge game narrative, and we certainly get that here with J.K. Dobbins. Love the touchdowns he's been producing as well. Been pretty awesome. Hey, by the way, over at FTNFantasy.com, starting on Monday, we're going to have a sale. Oh, yeah, we are. And it'll last for a full week. If you want to get in over there or maybe give a gift, a subscription to FTNFantasy.com, next week would be the week to do it. All right. But in the meantime, go check it out anyway. Of course, you can follow along with me on the various socials. On X, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. On Instagram, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. On Blue Sky, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. That other pregame show, 8 to noon Eastern on Sunday morning. Watch it. I'm on it. It's awesome. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.